Hello, everyone. You're listening to Family Talk, the radio broadcasting ministry of the James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Dr. James Dobson, and thank you for joining us for this program.
Well, welcome to Family Talk, the broadcast ministry of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh, and today we're continuing a timely and important conversation about America's relationship with Israel. Behind the mic in the guest host seat once again is our own Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President of Public Policy here at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, and also the host of the Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom podcast, which is available wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Joining Gary for this powerful conversation is former U.S. Congresswoman and current JDFI board member Michelle Bachmann. Now, throughout history, the connection between these two nations, the United States and Israel, has been foundational to America's strength and prosperity. During our discussion during the next half hour, Michelle Bachmann will share powerful observations about recent developments and what they mean for the future of both countries. As someone who has served in Congress and also continues to be a strong voice for faith and freedom, Michelle Bachmann offers valuable perspective on how we can support Israel while staying true to our nation's founding principles. On our last broadcast, Michelle shared her insights on the dramatic shift in U.S.-Israeli relations under the new administration. Today, she'll examine the troubling rise of anti-Semitism in America and what can be done to combat it. So now, let's get into part two of this powerful conversation featuring Gary Bauer and Michelle Bachmann talking about America standing with Israel once again.
Now, a little earlier, Michelle, we touched on the growing anti-Semitism in the United States, which
Jew hatred is what it is. That's what anti-Semitism is.
Yeah.
It's Jew hatred.
It sped up. It exploded after that barbaric attack,
right,
which made no sense whatsoever. I mean, that's the hand of Satan, right?
It is a push-pull because through history, when Jews are attacked, permission has been given to the general population that, oh, well, then if they were attacked, they must have deserved it. Something must be wrong with them. We should all hate the Jews. So when October 7th, 2023 happened with the slaughter, you saw a global intifada, a rising up of hatred. It was planned. It was intentional. Remember, it was less than 24 hours, and there were all of the supporters of the murderers. They had red paint on their hands, and they were putting handprints on the gates of the White House, on the brick gates of the White House. Nothing happened to them. Joe Biden didn't send anybody out to arrest them. Nobody went to jail. And so when you don't punish crime, there's more of it. That's what we saw for 4 years under the Biden administration. Crime wasn't punished internationally or domestically. And so permission was given.
So with that anti-Semitism, as you said, they did virtually nothing. The university campuses, which should be a place of great learning and progressive thought, et cetera, in fact, we discovered those were some of the worst places in the country on anti-Semitism.
Columbia, Yale, Harvard.
And when the Trump administration came in, they just announced in the last week or so, they are filing civil rights complaints against, I believe, Columbia, Harvard, University of Minnesota.
Yes.
So again, a major step being taken.
But they
by
need
the president
to do that because, again, this isn't free speech. This is inciting revolution.
Yes.
And there is no First Amendment coverage for inciting revolution. And remember, in World War II with the Nazis, it was on the campuses where a lot of this hatred against the Jews began. You look at movements all across the world, whether it's communism, they start on the college campuses.
You know, you've been involved in some of these battles. I think we all have at one point or another. But a number of so-called mainline church denominations that still call themselves Christians, they're not only off the rails when it comes to the biblical idea of what marriage is, the sanctity of life, all sorts of other issues. They're off the rails on this. We see major church denominations passing resolutions at their conferences and conventions condemning Israel, condemning
the
Jewish people.
That's true. And it's because they embrace something called replacement theology. And it's a heresy is what it is. And what it says is that the promises that God made are no longer true. Really, that's up to you. That's up to you to question what God said in the Bible. So there are mainline churches, but take a look at those churches. They're dying on the vine.
Yes.
They're losing population. They're living off of their endowments. They're irrelevant to American society. They're only trying to poison the minds of young people. What I'm concerned about are evangelical churches and evangelical seminaries that would be embracing this idea of Jew hatred. And to me, it's because you have radicals that are coming into the seminaries and they're starting to teach in the seminary and they're perverting scripture. If you stick with the scripture, you're fine. But when you pervert the scripture in the seminaries, that's when the living churches go off the rails.
Well, you know, some of these theologians, and I use the word broadly, claim that when the scripture says Israel, it really means now the church.
Yeah, that's right. That's replacement theology.
Yes.
It's called supersessionism, replacement theology, but it is a heresy and a lie. And if you're a part of a church that teaches that,
get out
and look for another church. That church won't be blessed because God has no expiration date on his promise that his people will be in the land. It is forever until he comes. In fact, the greatest proof, Gary, that the Bible is real is that the promises that the prophets foretold came true on May 14th, 1948, when Israel was born in a day, and when God has been ingathering the Jewish people from all over the world since 1948. So Israel's about 75 years old now, and we saw another prophet, Ezekiel, his prophecy regarding Jerusalem, that Jerusalem would come back into the Jews' hands. That was fulfilled on June 6, 1967. So everything that the prophets revealed, just down to the most minute details, we're living in the most biblical time that I can imagine this day. So I was alive in 1967 when that happened. And many of our listeners were alive in 1948 when that prophecy was fulfilled. We are witnessing prophecy fulfilled day after day after day. And I believe that's why I mentioned Zephaniah 2, 4 through 7 and Judges 12, 14. We may be seeing those prophecies fulfilled now. I'm not saying it is, but we might be with what's happening now, this suggestion that this land is returned to the remnant of Judah.
Well, you know, Michelle, the scriptures teach that when Christ returns to set up his kingdom here, that he doesn't come into Washington, D.C.
That's right.
He doesn't set down in Paris or at the United Nations headquarters. He comes to the holy city of Jerusalem.
Amen.
Which is throughout the Bible, and it remains central to the entire story that God is laying out before us.
And he said, this is the city where I put my glory. This is the city where I have my name. This is the city where I have my throne. This is my eternal city. And then turn to Revelation 22, the last book in the Bible. What ultimately happens after the final judgment? A new Jerusalem descends.
Yes.
And God has this
new
holy
city. What an image.
It's so beautiful. So you're right. When he returns, he's returning to the Mount of Olives. And he's going to step on the Mount of Olives, and that's in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And so the people and the land will remain, and these demonic lunatics will fail. And so the United States should stop funding the demonic plans of the lunatics that want to destroy Israel. And instead, we need to come into alignment with the Word of God. We need to bless the Jewish people. We need to bless the land of Israel. We should never curse them. And thank God we're out of the four-year nightmare of cursing the Jewish people and the Jewish land. And now it appears we're in a period of blessing. But remember, Donald Trump is a man. He's a human being, a flawed individual. And so that's why we as the church, it's our job to pray. We're told in Romans, we're to pray for leaders and those in authority. So we've been gathering in Washington, D.C. to pray. But pray if you live in Poughkeepsie. Pray if you live in Peoria. Pray wherever you are. Pray for the leaders that are in authority, because the world is in a very difficult place right now. Just because Donald Trump is in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue doesn't mean all is right in the world. The world is in a world hurt right now. So let's ask God for miracles because the blessings will come back to us in the United States. We want to be blessed as a nation. So that's why we have to read His word, follow His word, pray, repent, turning away from our sins, forsaking our sins. God hears us when we're in that posture. We're walking in answered prayer right now.
You know, at the inauguration itself, which had to be brought inside because of the inclement weather here and so forth, all around Donald Trump and those dignitaries, God was the premier guest. I mean, you had the prayer by Franklin Graham, by Dolan, by the Jewish rabbi, et cetera. And each one of them, in their own ways, were bringing the message of God's hand and His blessing on America as Donald Trump and his family sat there. And all of it was started by the Naval Academy Glee Club marching into the rotunda singing
Glory, Glory,
the Battle Hymn of the Republic.
And if you notice the giant, that was the rotunda of the Capitol. If you notice the giant murals that
everywhere
are behind, those are pictorials of prayer meetings.
Yes.
When the United States began on a beach, a prayer meeting, or the pilgrims, when they were in leaving the Netherlands and they're on the dock, it's a prayer meeting and Pocahontas being baptized because she gave her life to Jesus Christ. It is one depiction after another.
I did a podcast for JDFI exactly about that. And if you stood there, if you were Donald Trump and for some reason or any of those people there, and you looked up George Washington's looking down from heaven.
That's right. And then that doesn't even include the statues.
Yes.
The statues of so many, even presidents who were Bible study teachers who prayed at the inaugurations. American history is a history of a Judeo-Christian people who love the Lord and love His word and want to follow His word. That's the history of the United States. Don't let your school system lie to you or lie to your kids because we're not a secular nation. We were started by Christians. We didn't force anyone to have a state church. We did in the colonial era, but not as a country in the United States. But we are the best of nations. We're not perfect. But the best nations are the nations, as the Bible says, whose God is the Lord. That's what the scripture says. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I hope this discussion that we're having right now is stimulating the listeners to love and good works, to know the word, and then apply the word as a citizen in your own nation and continue to pray for those in authority because we are literally seeing answers to prayer. All last fall, Gary, across the entire country and the world, people were praying about those elections. We are walking through the answer to the prayers of those saints. Well, we don't give up now. We keep praying in, and we will see, I think, that truly, remember, Donald Trump said he wants this to be America's golden era. He believes it will be. What makes America a golden era is the sacred. When we return back to the Lord, then the Lord's hand of blessing comes on a nation, and it is a time of sacredness. And that's what my prayer is for the United States, that we'll return our hearts
prayer to
the Lord and then see the sacredness return to the culture of the United States.
And you know, Michelle, I know you believe, I certainly believe it, and I believe Donald Trump has said he believes it. Those prayers you're referring to were happening all during 2024.
Yes.
And we saw with our own eyes there were very evil forces unleashed that wanted to kill the president.
Oh,
I think
no
still,
doubt. And
I think
still they do.
Still want to do it
and
today.
And he knows that. He even said in a press conference from the Oval Office, he was asked about Iran. Well, you know, what if Iran assassinates
you?
Yes,
and he said,
and he'd already thought about it. He said, look, if they assassinate me, I've already written the order that Iran will be obliterated. So any terrorist that thinks they're going to assassinate Donald Trump, they're going to be taken care of because— he has now, since Butler, Pennsylvania, and he was almost killed there and then almost killed at Mar-a-Lago on his golf course. And people forget there was a third assassination attempt in California. He was going to speak out there and they interdicted guns in the back of a car there. So
I believe there's others we haven't heard anything about.
Gary, 100%, I absolutely believe with you. That's why we have to continue to pray. But he knows that. And so the best thing that could have happened to Donald Trump is that now God has shown him personally personally, the brevity of life, that just like Moses' prayer in Psalms 90 says, that we're like grass. We arise in the morning fresh and green, and by evening we're withered and we're done. We are dust. That's what we are. God is magnificent and everlasting, and we are mortal men that are returned to dust. He recognizes, like Ronald Reagan did, that we are but dust. And Ronald Reagan famously said, whatever time I have left is his. Donald Trump also gave a almost an identical version of that.
I know.
What I have is his. And the very first words out of his mouth at the inauguration this year was God, giving glory to God. And you almost felt like you were in a church service during the inauguration.
It was amazing,
because it
right?
was amazing. And I think that he is bold. He's bolder now in his faith, but he's not going to waste a minute of his time. And thank God, because we had 12 years of devastation between the 8 years under Obama and the 4 years under Biden. And I'm not saying it because of Democrat, Republican. I lived it. I was a member of Congress during the Obama years. I served 8 years in Congress. And under the Biden years, we witnessed this tearing down. The Bible talks about a foolish woman who tears down the walls of her own house. That's what it felt like for the last 4 years under Biden, that America was being destroyed. And now there's so much repair work to do. This is really, we're in a Nehemiah moment with Donald Trump, because we have to have a trowel in one hand to rebuild the nation and a sword in the other to keep us safe. And he isn't wasting any time. And when you look at his executive orders, he's working so fast to help the American people.
It's incredible. I've never seen
anything. To make our lives better and build up the economy and keep us safe.
Yes. The historians look at American history and they identify, and we all understand this, I hope, that there were a couple of existential moments. One was at the very beginning, the American Revolution.
Yes.
If that hadn't worked, there'd be no America. So
without believers and
exactly.
prayer, it was all believers.
No question. And so that was over a question of whether we would govern ourselves or not. And we end up establishing a republic built on the idea that liberty comes from God, not from government. The next existential moment was in the 1850s, going into the 1860s, when we had a national debate about whether one man could own another man. And thank God, we decided that, as Lincoln
said—
that
all men are equal.
Yeah, the way Lincoln put it was, no man's born with a saddle on his back and other men born with spurs to ride him.
What a beautiful way to say that.
Right?
And for anyone who comes to Washington, D.C., if you come with your family in the summer, go to the Lincoln Memorial and read on the side wall the second inaugural address. You can just feel the pain through Lincoln's heart. And it's all scripture.
References the Bible or God directly or indirectly 12 times in a one-page inaugural.
It was a sermon.
Yeah.
It was a sermon that he gave. And, Gary, when I had dinner last night with the foreign minister of Israel, she gave a Bible lesson. When she stood up to speak, she just spoke about the scriptures and what the scriptures said. It was magnificent. She had everybody in the room, because I think we understand right now we are, from the world's perspective, we're at an existential moment. Abraham Lincoln was at an existential moment. There was no guarantee that America was going to survive the Civil War. Most people thought we were going to split apart, because most nations do. We have the longest running constitution in world history. Our Constitution.
Yes.
And Donald Trump is so excited about the 250th anniversary that's coming up to celebrate that. At Regent University, we have the top scholar in American government, and we're going to be celebrating that 250th anniversary. We plan to come up here to the nation's capital.
That's wonderful.
We need to celebrate what is unique in world history, that we have freedom. We don't have it because a document had the right words. We had it because we were founded on the principles of the Bible and Almighty God. And we had the people, personnel is policy, we had the people who were surrendered to Jesus Christ. So more than anything, we pray that people who seek higher office or public service are people who are surrendered to Jesus Christ.
If the rights we have are just words on paper, that they're referred to as parchment rights. And a lot of really bad places in the world have wonderful parchment rights.
Russia does.
Exactly.
Russia has a beautiful constitution.
As we're running out of time here, it reminded me that we say under God in our Pledge of Allegiance.
Yes.
And that happened because Dwight Eisenhower went to a service at the Church of the Presidents across from Farragut Square, and he heard the pastor there preach that the Pledge of Allegiance we had at the time could be said by the children of any of any country, and we needed to put something in there that made it clear that God was central
to it. And Dwight Eisenhower had given his life to Jesus Christ as a boy. And because of that, that was put in. And where Donald Trump stood for the inauguration is the statue of Dwight Eisenhower. And the great story of how prayers and people intervened in his life. He never would have been a general. He never would have gone to war. He was supposed to have his leg amputated. He was sick in Kansas. And he told his brother, I don't care what happens. You're locking that door. Nobody's going to come in, because a doctor was coming over, just literally saw his leg off. And his brother wouldn't let him in. And it was a shouting match in the house. But Dwight prevailed with his will that he wasn't going to have his leg removed. Ultimately, was healed. He never would have gotten into the military. There never would have been a D-Day. There never would have been that Allied victory. We can't even imagine. But when we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ, we also can't imagine what God uses through yielded servants to his word. And that's why in this biblical moment, in the biblical historical moment that we're in now, a window is open. It's a pivotal time when we need to, as believers all across the world, turn to the Lord now in this moment. Study his word, then live it out. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. Who knows what miracles are around the corner and what will happen even here in the United States? The possibilities are endless in this moment. It really is the potential for the golden moment.
No question about it. What a wonderful way to end our conversation, Michelle. Folks, if you've been listening over the last couple of days, I hope that you heard through what Michelle and I were talking about the role that America's played in God's plan for the world and the relationship between America and the Jewish people, the covenant people of the Bible. One of the messages of Dr. Dobson and the James Dobson Family Institute is not only standing with Israel, which of course is something he feels very strongly about, but in addition to that, we want every day to remind you that as a follower of Jesus Christ in a free country, you have not only a great opportunity, we believe you have an obligation to be an involved citizen.
Yes, yes.
If you're not in the public square, then people with a quite different vision for America will take your place. So we've just seen in an election how important it is of men and women who follow Jesus Christ, of all races and backgrounds, how we must stand up for faith, family, and freedom.
That's right.
If we do that, not only, I think, will we please God, but this good and decent land that God has given us will be around for a long, long time.
Amen. And I hope young people are inspired to give their lives to Jesus Christ, study his word, and then follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, and perhaps choose public service.
Wouldn't
choose
that be wonderful?
Public service and bring your faith to bear in the Capitol, in the military, at state legislatures, in city courthouses. We need this next generation to take our places. We're leaving the stage, and we need them to come along and take our place.
No question. Well, thank you, Michelle, for being with us. Thank you for your partnership with the James Dobson Family Institute, your service on the board, and all that you've done in a career in and out of office as a Christian woman standing up for faith, family, and freedom. We love you at JDFI and look forward to working with you in the important months ahead.
I love you too, and I love our listeners. God bless you.
Powerful conversation featuring Michelle Bachman and Gary Bauer, the Senior Vice President of Public Policy here at the Dr. James Dobson Policy Center. And today here on Family Talk, we've been discussing America's relationship with Israel and how important it is for America to stand with Israel yet again. Their insights remind us that supporting Israel isn't just about politics, it's about aligning with God's biblical promises. And by the way, if you missed any portion of today's broadcast, or you want to share part one and part two of this perspective with someone who needs to hear it, visit drjamesdobson.org/ Family Talk. As I mentioned, there you'll find today's complete program, along with a link to hear part one of the conversation, and also some additional resources about standing with Israel. It's all waiting for you at drjamesdobson.org/Family Talk or on the Family Talk app. And speaking of apps, if you're looking for daily biblical wisdom and encouragement from Dr. Dobson himself, don't forget to check out our free reading plans on the Bible app by YouVersion. We have more than 50 of them, centering on parenting, marriage, and other topics. Whether you have 3 minutes each day to study God's Word or maybe a half hour or more, these brief devotionals offer practical insights for your faith journey. Just open the Bible app on your phone or tablet and search for Dr. James Dobson to get started. You'll be glad you did. I'm Roger Marsh, and as we stand together for truth and biblical values, please know how grateful we are to have you a part of the Family Talk community. Please join us again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, the voice you trust for the family you love.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.